And you'll never guess what his doors are. We're going to look at a creature in Job chapter 41 called Leviathan. Very interesting creature, and lots of theological debate over Leviathan. If you've got the right RSV, Revised Standard Version, your footnotes will say of Leviathan, it's a crocodile. I have a Zondervan King James Bible at home, and the footnote there where it says, I think it's verse 1, canst thou draw Leviathan with a hook? It said, it's a whale or a whirlpool. The commentator Blake said it's war by land and sea. Matthew Henry said it's a large sea creature or a fish. You Google all the theological experts, and it's a maritime monster, a sea serpent symbolizing Israel's enemies, a fire-breathing crocodile, a metaphor. One of the modern commentators, Tim, said chaos, dark forces, massive challenges, addictions, and more. One called it a wild horse. One said it's a 39-million-year-old whale weighing 200 tons, only to be corrected by another one saying it's a 480-million-year-old whale, give or take 100 million. Primeval chaos monster created by God at the beginning of creation. Well, getting close. We'll have a little Bible study this morning on this Leviathan. That will make some practical application. Let's scrap Google and scrap the commentators and see what God has to say. Let's go to Job and let's look at the last verse in Job, which will give us a nice big clue. Job chapter 41 and verse 34. The whole chapter is about this Leviathan. He beholdeth all things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Now that ought to give you a clue of who Leviathan might be, but in the form of a creature. The Bible is a wild book. Now go to Isaiah 14. He's king over all the children of pride. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah chapter 14. Who is Leviathan? He's king over the children of pride. Verse 12, Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, watch this, 5, the number of death, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount. He keeps trying to go up. Sound like a little pride to you? Of the congregation the size of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. He's the king over all the children of pride. Now, you got to be careful. In his state there, he wasn't the ghoul with the pitchfork and the pointy tail and the horns. He was a glorious creature. Now, but he's got this ability. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's got this amazing ability before you ever picked up one of the toys at Toys R Us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Let's go 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming. Remember the transformers? Who ever had a transformer? Anyone have a transformer? It was, all kinds of yes. It was way before my time. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's your first transformer. Satan himself. Go to Genesis chapter 3. So he's this glorious creature around the temple. Then he's an angel of light. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he goes from being this angelic being, coming down here, he's a serpent that can turn himself into an angel of light. But there's more transforming to come. Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. In Isaiah chapter 27, he's going to talk about that day. And in the last few verses of 26 will tell you, let's go to 26 and see what that day is talking about. The dead, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people. Enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, a little moment until the indignation be past. God's people are being hidden and protected while something's going on. For behold, what's going on? The Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now, 27:1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong strong sword shall punish who? The piercings. Who? Sound familiar? Even Leviathan, that crooked what? And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So either God's flipping out on crocodiles and hippopotamuses, or splashing in whirlpools, or something's going on with this Leviathan. Revelation chapter 12. You learn a little Bible today. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great, say it, was cast out, that old, called who? And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You don't need mythology. You don't need sci-fi. You don't need Harry Potter. You got a Bible. I think we've established that Leviathan is Satan in the form of some serpent or dragon, that he's fixing to get whooped by God later. Okay, full circle, Job 41. And he's got doors. And you'll never guess what they are. The whole chapter describes Leviathan in his creature form. And verse 14, here we are again. Who can open the doors of his what? Sounds like he's got doors over his tongue too, doesn't he? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. Remember our definition of doors. It's a passageway. That's one definition. And the other is it's something that hangs in that passageway to keep things in or out. The psalmist said, Lord, set a watch. Keep the doors. I can't tame my tongue. We learned that last week. But He can tame it. He can set a watch. We got to pray that He would be the doorkeeper of our tongues. But you know Satan's got those doors too. And you know he's not asking God to tame his tongue. You know he's not asking God to keep his doors. That's not his prayer. You know why? Because he knows his doom. And his goal is to take you with him and me with him. And one of his main missions is to get you with what comes out of his doors. Audibly and inaudibly. And that's what we're going to look at today. What is Satan saying and who is he saying it to? Revelation chapter 12. Well, he's talking to God, if you can believe that. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, watch it, which accused them before our God day and night. I'll tell you what he's saying right now. He's accusing you and I before God. Now, I'm glad the Bible doesn't stop there. Because verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah for the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives to the death. Aren't you glad it didn't stop in verse 10? Listen, eternally speaking, he said, I write unto you little children that you sin not. Hallelujah. But he says, but if any man sin, and if any man sin, we have an advocate. The accuser is the prosecutor, but the advocate is the defense attorney. See, Leviathan's not the only one with doors. Jesus Christ has some doors too. And when he opened, right now, day and night, look at him. Look at her. Listen to them. And here's my admonition to me and you for that. Too bad. It's under the blood. Who confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But let's not give a merit on the practical side. Look at them. They're your children. Listen to them. They're your children. I'm telling you, what's the devil saying? He's got doors too, yeah, and he's not about to close them. And the main thing of his operation is to make accusations against you and I. Let's not give him merit. Can we love Jesus enough for that? Speaking accusations. Who else are Satan's doors open to? Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 14. His minions. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, verse son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. We read that already. Listen, and we know from other places in Scripture, he took a third of the angels with him. Those that kept not their first estate. You know what he's got? We heard it already today. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's got a team. And he is directing that team. A lot of people say, I don't believe in organized religion. God does and Satan does. And he is directing that, and he is not going to stop his commission, which is to destroy. If you're not saved, he wants to destroy your soul. If you are saved, he wants to immobilize your body for the cause of Jesus Christ so you can't do anything for him. I'll tell you who else he's talking to. Genesis chapter 3. He's talking to mankind, and he started way back there. His doors are wide open. We read it earlier, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, just open the door, unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And he goes on with this discourse with this woman. And he didn't do it at gunpoint. He did it at mouth point. For every gun that destroys people, tongues destroy 1,000. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Genesis chapter 3. The trouble was somebody gave the devil ear. The Bible talks about giving ear. Giving ear. And what did he say? Did he curse? Did the devil, when he was opening those doors to reach mankind, did he blaspheme? No, he just contradicted the true words of God. He's got minions, he's got messengers that are not only spiritually unseen, principalities and powers, but he has human mouthpieces as well. He has human doors that open their doors for him. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're talking about the devil's doors. His mouth, just like us. John chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear. Wait a minute, they had ears. Ye cannot hear my word. Ye, speaking to religious people that rejected the word of God, are of your father, the devil. How do you recognize the devil's doors in the flesh? Anyone speaking contrary to the word of God. Well, that sounds kind of harsh. Don't shoot the messenger. There is no God. There's one. God's just trying to hold you back, you little shackled, cross-carrying fundamentalist. There's one. I'm telling you, the devil's doors are wide open. Accusing God's people before the throne day and night, and through his minions and messengers, seen and unseen, trying to cut down the truth of the Word of God. His mission has not changed since Genesis chapter 3. And he can speak. He's a spiritual being. And he can, I don't understand it all. I'm in a realm that I can read about and see about, but you ever hear voices? Inaudible? See, when someone says, oh, that guy hears voices, because you think he's saying he hears audible voices. But let me tell you, the Bible's clear. You hear voices. Inaudible. I said in mine heart, this will I do. Right? One of the voices you hear, you all hear voices. Say amen. One of them is yours. I love when James Knox said these people go, oh, God told me, extra biblical. God told me. And he said, every time God tells me something, it sounds like me talking. But someone's talking to me. And it doesn't always line up with this. Are you saying maybe our soul has ears? I'm sure it does. Because the souls that were under the altar in heaven are crying out. Those are bodies. No, they're souls. But if they stripped your body away, your shell, there's you. With guess what? Ears. Either that or our hearts have ears. So I got me talking to me, right? I said in my heart, he said in his heart, Satan said in his heart, so someone's talking to me. And then I got Romans chapter 2, my conscience, accusing, excusing. That's not right. I got the voices there. But go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. There's another voice that can get in there. First Chronicles 21. This always look at this. And Satan, verse 1, stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. You ever wonder how he did it? Do you think he transformed himself into an angel of light? Do you like he did with Christ in the wilderness? I'll tell you what I think. I think he spoke to his heart. I think David's soul has ears like our souls have ears, and I'm talking to me half the time, and the Holy Spirit to the conscience is trying to talk to me half the time, and then the Bible's talking to me half the time. But there's another one that's getting something in there that's not coming from God. He provoked David. He must have suggested something. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. Acts chapter 5. What are you saying? His doors are open. Acts chapter 5. Verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Somebody was talking to Ananias. It said Satan filled his heart. Well, either our hearts, the inner hearts, have ears, or our souls have ears. I'm telling you, his doors are open. And he wants to limit us. Come on. They're having a building fund. Do I really want to do this? And you get this fight. What is that? Well, it's the flesh. It's probably the flesh. The devil don't need no help. But if you should happen to come along and crucify your flesh one day, he'll be there. Well, Jesus, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yeah, and there's another one knocking too. Amen. How do I know who's talking to me? Everything filters through here. If it doesn't line up with this, pitch it. I said in my heart, I will build bigger barns. What am I going to do with all my junk? I mean my stuff. Oh, that sounds familiar. Oh, that's here. I saw what happened. If the Lord will, I'll do this or that. Is what I'm hearing audibly or inaudibly contrary to the Word of God? That's my measure. I'm telling you, His doors are open, wide open. God's not going to close them. You're not going to close His mouth, but we'll get to how you can help. And he started with making accusations day and night. He's doing it right now, probably about this preacher. Listen to that dummy down there. He didn't represent you. He's saying this and he did that yesterday. He's under the blood. He's under the blood. Amen. His minions, His messengers all around us. That's how He speaks. You talk about hearing voices within and without, especially in 2023. Ezekiel 28, I think there's another one. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel 28. Talking to the Master, talking to mankind, talking through His minions and His messengers. We'll give you another M. If you can't guess, verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy, say it, and of thy what? Was prepared where? He's a musical creature. That Leviathan is a musical creature. He got pipes in him. You know, it has an organ is what has pipes in it. I thought of a practical definition of music this morning. Words made easier to get into the heart. Good, bad, whatever. You know, we got people that are facing a lot of physical difficulties right now. My brother-in-law is one of them. And when they want that medication to get to the heart, if you're taking oral medication, it's got to go through all through your digestive and the kidneys. And all. But when they want that to get to the heart, they put it in an intravenous. They put it direct. If I gave you 40 words to memorize, just writing them down and saying, I want you to memorize, you're going to get up before the church and quote it next week. I bet most of you couldn't do it. I probably couldn't do it. But if I gave you 40 words and said, I want you to come back, we can get up and give me this back. Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. There's 40 words in that little jingle and you can get it just like that. Fortunately, unfortunately, I mean, man, they're not dumb at Lowe's. They're playing the music in my generation. I got to go to Lowe's, honey. Oh, man. Bring me back. Just like that. What's music? A venue to get words to the heart faster. And if you don't believe that, you're just stupid. The athletes know it. You know what Josh and Patrick and Burrow, you know what they're going to see when they show them coming off that bus or off that plane into that stadium when they got their $1,000 suits on? They got them little white things hanging off of their ears, man, their sunglasses. You know why? They're getting ready for war. They're getting ready for the game. They know what music does. You know what the bar owner knows? I mean, come on. Let's go down to the bar. No music, the lights are on, and no alcohol. You know what you got? A living room. Lovers know it. Lovers are going to reach that goal a little faster with some music. And frankly, Christians know it. Music can make or break an athlete, a bar, a romantic interlude, or a church? Dad, why are you playing that same Christian song 50 times while you're in that bathroom getting ready Sunday morning? I'm getting ready for the game. Why are you playing that song over and over and over when you're going out to preach on the street? I'm getting ready for the war. I'm telling you, music does something to us. And the devil's got some coming out of his doors. Woo! And God's got some coming out of his. Now, if our definition holds true, a passageway, this is not my only door. I got two more. One of my doors, stuff comes out of, as far as audibleness, food goes in, yes, but all, and the other doors is for stuff to come in. Satan's doors are wide open. But he can only win half the battle. The other half of the battle is up to me if I open my doors to what's coming out of his doors and lets it in my doors. You ever read about they stop their ears? Matthew 11. Doors. Which really, the ears, they're kind of ugly doors. The girls, they try to spruce them up. You imagine if girls, when you would listen to something you shouldn't be listened to, someone's gossip or tale-bearing or evil music or bashing the preacher or your little website where they're beating up your family and all that, and your ears started to respond to that and turn to like sci-fi, like silly putty and stuff like that. Matthew 11:15, watch this. Jesus speaking, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's a profound statement. I think I could, not change in the Bible, but I could say, listen up. Can you hear me? Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. A little, women can multitask. I don't understand it. You know, my wife's got all her daughters writing her on these, and I'm trying to tell her something real important, mainly because everything I say is real important. And she's not putting her head up from this thing, so I just stop now. She goes, I can multitask. I don't know how they do it. Are you listening to me? I heard you. I didn't ask you if you heard me. He that hath ears. There's some of you in here today. You got ears, but you're not hearing. Now that can be bad, or that can be good. Because that's Satan's call. Although he doesn't say it in the Bible, you can bet he's saying it. And singing it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He says, you have ears to hear, but you hear not. That's bad when it's Jesus speaking, but it's good when Satan's speaking. You don't have to listen. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to stop your ears like I think they did in Acts chapter 7. People say, well, my door's always open. I hope these ones aren't. And if there's ever a time when we've got to stop our ears to the minions and the messengers and the music of Satan. It's now. Proverbs 15. And we're done. Proverbs 15. We're talking about doors. And last week it was what's coming out of your doors. And this week it's what's going in your doors. It was really pleasant. Now some was that. You know, I got a lot of questions. Well, you can say, listen, it's not good words and bad. Jesus was harsh. But he didn't gossip. Jesus told the truth, but he didn't talebear. Listen, if you'll listen real close to that conscience voice, you'll know what you're saying. It's either of God or not of God. I took it to the extreme, and I think the commanders intercepted a pass. Well, they got a right to intercept once in a while, too. We'd probably be happy if we were down there in Washington. You know, let's not push it here. But last week we said, Lord, set a watch. Keep the doors of my mouth. Set a watch over my lips. Proverbs 15, verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Where's that? Right here. Someone's going to have to help me with this verse. The hoary head, Tim, help me. The hoary head, if it be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head is a crown of righteousness. If, I've seen a lot of gray-haired hippies, man. There ain't nothing, nothing righteous about them. But I'll tell you what, some of you got parents that have been walking with God for a long time. Yeah, but you say they're not always doing it right. That's why you need to listen. Not to what they did wrong, but to not do it wrong like them. Listen, the ear of that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. How do you respond to preaching? How do you respond to godly authority? How do you respond to the wisdom of the aged? Verses Proverbs 17:4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. A liar, watch, look at this man, giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Here's the invitation question before we sing an invitation song that's just going to be a prayer like we prayed last week for this door. We're going to pray for this door. The devil's doors are open. Are yours? Who are you listening to? And if you added up the words that come through these things now, and these things, can you imagine how many more words there are than there was 25 years ago? And although you may be reading them coming in here, it's going in here, and these doors are connected to this thing. You say, how do I tell what's coming in? What comes back out? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Lord, you got stuff coming out of your doors. The evil one's got stuff coming out of his doors. I have a choice what's going to come in to mine. Let's stand, Jason.